Let's look to the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do just thank you so much again for a time to spend in your word which leads and guides us. And we just thank you that you have left us with your word and your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us through this life, that we're not left alone. Lord, we just pray that this time is honoring and glorifying to you and that it's encouraging to the saints. Lord, we thank you and praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. So just to let you guys know ahead of time, this may sound familiar to some of you. I've shared my notes with this on this with several of you. So if it sounds familiar, it's because it is probably to you. But I found a lot of new things, a lot of refreshment and revisiting my notes. And hopefully it's new to you as well. So good morning. So, obviously, we've been through a lot as an assembly lately. Some have family members who are in rough physical conditions. Many are in rough mental and spiritual conditions. A pandemic has changed our way of life in more ways than we could have imagined. Some of our closest brothers and sisters have decided to fellowship elsewhere. Some are sick. Some are going through divorce. Some have lost jobs. Some are having difficulties in school. Some are having difficulties at work. Some have financial trouble. Some have faced accusations of sin. Some have lost family members. Some are being attacked by Satan. Some are going through trials for the purpose of spiritual growth and character building. The roof is leaking. Some of us are going through the toughest time we've ever gone through in this life. Any of these things can cause us to be anxious or worried. If you're looking for a title for your notes, you might call this a biblical remedy for anxiety. Oxford defines anxiety as a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. In a Time magazine article published in May of 2018, it was reported that approximately 40 million American adults, roughly 18% of the population, have an anxiety disorder, according to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. As one who personally struggles with sometimes crippling anxiety, I spent a lot of times in the past few years petitioning the Lord through prayer for help. There are many types of anxiety, but the ones that I personally deal with the most are anoclophobia, which is an irrational fear of crowds, and general anxiety, or just feeling uneasy for no apparent reason. These and many other types of anxiety can be a hindrance to the Lord's work among his people. I know from personal experience that anxiety often keeps people from gathering together to remember the Lord or from getting involved in ministry. It can lead to sins such as neglecting fellowship, gluttony, dishonesty, drug abuse, laziness, and many more. In the words of Yoda, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. We've seen in recent times that in our own extended family that it can lead to suicide and suicide attempts. Recently, the Lord led me to a study on the subject, which has been like medicine for my soul. And that's what I'd like to share with you today. So before we dive into what the Bible has to say about anxiety, I'd just like to give a little disclaimer. I want to be clear that there is a difference between what may be called clinical anxiety and plain old worry, although it is very common to have both at the same time. There are many medical conditions that may produce a psychosomatic condition of anxiety. Some of these conditions include hypothyroidism, hypoglycemia, cardiac arrhythmia, and vitamin B12 deficiency. If you are on medication for clinical anxiety, please follow your doctor's advice and continue your treatment. Even if you are considering discontinuing your anxiety medication, seek your doctor's help. Most anxiety medications have withdrawal symptoms that can kill you if you try to stop taking them cold turkey. But what we're discussing today is not clinical anxiety, nor are we discussing legitimate concern. It's good for us to be concerned about our families. Genuine care and concern drives us to pray for our loved ones and to pray for ministries. It can cause us to reach out and help each other in times of need. Genuine concern is a good thing as long as it causes us to go to God in prayer. What we are discussing today is worry. What we are discussing today, if left to linger in our souls, can lead to depression, mental and physical abuse, disease, or even death. What we are discussing today is a lack of peace in our hearts. What we are discussing today is an overwhelming discomfort in our situation. What we are discussing today is caused by a lack of trust in the Lord and His plans. What we are discussing today is sin. So there are many reasons we worry, and one of the reasons we worry, that people worry, is as a result of sin, another sin. Perhaps you've offended someone and caused a rift in the relationship. The answer to that is simple, although not always easy. Humble yourself and make amends. Confess your sin to God and the person you've sinned against. Do what you can to restore the relationship. Perhaps you're anxious because you're hiding a sin and you're worried people will find out. The answer to that, again, is simple, although not always easy. Stop your sinning. Confess your sins to God and fill your mind with His words so that there are no room for sinful desires. The causes for these types of worry are obvious and have obvious, though not always easy, solutions. The type of worry I want to discuss today is a worry in which we can't see an obvious solution. How can we stop worrying when there is no apparent answer to our problem? Today we'll look at what God has to say about the subject. He loves us so much that He gave His Son to die in our place on the cross. He doesn't want us to struggle with worry. He's given us a better way. We just need to understand some things about Him. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we'll read verses 1 through 5. But before we read, please take note of who the psalmist David is addressing the psalm to. He is speaking to his own soul in this psalm. So Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. David, inspired by the Lord, penned these words. David was certainly a man who struggled with anxiety. In Psalm 69:29, he writes, "But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me." In Psalm 42:3, he writes, "My tears have been my food and day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God?" And in verse 5, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me?" He had many reasons to fear throughout his life, but he knew where to turn for help. In verse 3 of Psalm 103, David makes a profound statement that we should meditate on. The Lord who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. How beautiful is that? We have a promise here in Scripture that the Lord heals all our soul's diseases. What is a disease of the soul? Anxiety. I find this scripture so comforting. Just to know that I am not alone to deal with my crippling worry gives me such peace. The Lord is with us to help us. He doesn't leave us alone to struggle. We also see in this psalm a hint at how the Lord helps with our soul's diseases. In verse 2, David tells his soul to bless the Lord and forget none of his benefits. He brings to mind various benefits of the Lord in the following verses. He is comforted by the remembrance of what the Lord has done for him. He is especially comforted by the remembrance of the Lord saving him, as this is the first thing he brings up in verse 4, quote, who redeems your life from the pit. What lessons we can learn from this psalmist? Remembrance of the Lord, specifically remembrance of his work of salvation, can and will bring our soul healing. Let us never cease to remember who he is and what he has done for us. And David wasn't the only one in the Bible who struggled with anxiety. Many others, including Moses, Job, Jacob, Jeremiah, and Daniel, all seemed to struggle with worry. Ray read this morning about Jeremiah struggling. In Exodus 4, Moses spoke the words, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? And please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." In Genesis 32, Jacob prayed this, "I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I have crossed this Jordan, and now I am become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. For you said, I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered." In Jacob's case, anxiety was caused by a broken relationship and a guilty conscience. We all know of the torment that Job went through. Because of a reason unknown to him, Job lost all his wealth and his children. After being questioned and accused by his friend for 27 laborious chapters, the Lord himself reminded Job of his excellence and goodness. This reminder from the Lord about himself changes Job's heart. He realizes that although he may not understand it, God is just. We can see his contentment with the Lord in his final response in Job 42. Let's read Job 42. Job 42 and verse 1. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes." Another Bible character who struggled with anxiety was Hannah. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel 1. Just to give a little context, Hannah was distressed to the point of tears and starving herself because she was unable to have children. And she was being mocked by her husband's other wife. We'll pick up the account in verse 8. So 1 Samuel 1 and verse 8. "Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. And now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah replied, "No, my lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. And down to verse 20. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Hannah's extreme anxiety was completely turned around after she sought the Lord. She went to the temple and poured out her heart to him. She trusted him. He, in return, gave her a heart of contentment. He also answered her prayer and provided her with a son. The key thing to remember about all of these characters is this: the Lord provided comfort as they remembered him. The Lord provided comfort as they remembered him. Let's take a look at what Jesus has to say about anxiety in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll pick up in verse 25. Matthew 6:25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I'm sure most of us have read or heard this section many times. It's a beautiful thing to know that God cares about us so much that he promises that he will provide for the necessities of life. It's somewhat of a comfort to hear the words of Christ, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself." The issue for me was this: You can tell me not to worry all you want, but I still have a natural tendency to worry, and I'm not quite sure what to do about it. Did I miss something when I read this? It would seem so. Christ gives us the solution in verse 33. Let's read that again. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." What does this mean? It means to put Christ first. It means to always think of his desires and obey them. It means Christ should always be on the forefront of our mind. Just as David wrote in Psalm 103, it means we should always be in remembrance of the benefits we have in Christ, especially our salvation. Starting to see a trend? Peace is spoken of often in this world. worldly gurus will tell us that clearing our mind is the only way to find inner peace. This is not what the Lord says. Some health professionals tell us that true inner peace will come only from eating the right foods, exercising, and getting enough sleep. These are all good things, but they won't bring us true peace either. We hear a lot about peace in our culture. Different organizations have put together various peace summits in the last few years. At Christmas time, it's common to see signs and hear songs which quote the angels at the birth of Christ, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Do we really understand what peace means? Do we have a grasp on where true peace comes from? Do we have peace in our own lives? Peace is the opposite of worry. Peace is the calmness in your heart that comes from trusting God. Let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul had to say about it in Philippians 4. Philippians 4. In verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul provides us here with a biblical prescription for worry. And it begins with, rejoice in the Lord always. We see once again that the cure for our anxiety comes only from the Lord. It comes from continually keeping Christ at the forefront of our minds and being thankful to him. It comes from remembering him. And it comes from remembering him always and finding our joy in him. Back in September, Ray spoke from Hebrews 4 about the rest we have in Christ as believers. You don't need to turn there, but the writer says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christ is the only way, is the only one who can provide a way to the Father, and remembering him is the only way to maintain fellowship with the God of all comfort. Let's continue in Philippians 4 at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard in and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now in verse 8, Paul gave us a list of characteristics that we should think about. What is the one thing that all these characteristics could be said of? Perhaps who would be the better question? The only one of whom all these things ring true is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is truly honorable. He is the only one who is truly righteous. He is pure and lovely. He is the best news that has ever been or ever will be. He is excellent and praiseworthy. Paul is telling us once again, think about Christ. Verse 9 gives us the promise that God will dwell with us when we dwell on him. Let's read on, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. So Paul had learned the secret of contentment. He learned to trust the Lord by constantly remembering and rejoicing in him. He made this statement in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He understood that true peace only comes from Christ and constant communion with him. Earlier, we looked at briefly at David's struggles in Psalm 42. Let's look at that chapter again to see the answers that the Lord gave him. Psalm 42. Verse 5, the psalmist asks of his soul, why have you become disturbed within me? The answer, hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. In verse 6, my soul is in despair within me. The answer, therefore I remember you. And in verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. In verse 11, David writes, why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? The answer, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now, brothers and sisters, the answer to anxiety is consistent throughout God's word. Remember Christ. Praise God. Think about who he is and give him thanks. Think about all the wonderful things that he has done and give him thanks. Perhaps this is one of the reasons that of the only two mandates given by Christ for the church, one of them is to break bread and share a cup in remembrance of him. Do not neglect the Lord's Supper. In Psalm 116, 12 through 13, after a meditation of his salvation in the Lord, he writes, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. He continues in verse 17, to you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. He is the source of our salvation. And the only thing we can give back to him that's worth anything is thankfulness for what he's done. Christ is not only our means of salvation, but he is also our only means of giving back to God. Praise the Lord. As we go our separate ways, I just want to stress this one point. If you've been feeling anxious, lost, or worried, remember that God is good. Remember that peace can only come through Christ. Remember that as a believer, you can find rest in him. Remember that you are precious in his sight. Remember that he cares for you. Remember his word. Remember that he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. Remember that he's left you with the indwelling Holy Spirit to comfort you. Remember that he's coming back soon, and you can live in fellowship with him for eternity. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's just give him thanks. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins. We thank you that he died and rose again, and he's ascended on high. We thank you that he's left us with the Holy Spirit to give us comfort day by day. Lord, we thank you that he's left us with the breaking of bread and the cup that we could remember him week by week. We thank you for the written word of God that we can learn from you and remember what you've done for us. Anytime we can read that and remember you. We thank you for prayer Lord, that we have direct access to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray this one thing as we go, that you would just help us to remember you throughout this week, and that your word would be a balm for our souls. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.